This podcast is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Bobro and is a production of VI Alliance.
Copyright 2020.
And this chart-busting hit, Alone Leave Me, courtesy of New Threads, is available everywhere.
Hey, this is Julie. I'm here with Susan, and we're continuing in our ancient text series with a female author, Dorothea Brand. And
Wake Up and Live
from 1936. And we have, what, an introductory podcast before this. We just did another podcast, and we're zooming along here in the material, which is very potent and powerful. And this time, I'm going to say it again, coming from a woman. And, you know, the premise sliding into here is we've been talking about the first couple of chapters, I think, and rolling in and outside of the material in all the 12 chapters of Wake Up and Live. Again, you can find this online and download it. Yep. And we've talked about the will to fail, how that's, you know, hugely available for all of us to participate in, and most of us do.
Right. Well, to fit in, you kind of have to accept some piece of that to fit in the world.
And then how we all victimize ourselves into the resolution of, you know, the will to fail.
Fits in, because we all fit in then. We're all part of the crowd.
We submit to a will to fail without even knowing it, and yet we do.
And you know, it's because we started talking about before about talking about being a woman, but you know what? And we are women. I mean, not that no one, you know, they haven't heard this, our listeners haven't heard this time and time again. Yet, as women, we tend to be more the peacemakers. We tend to be more the crowd pleasers. We tend to be more the glue that holds things together. And in a community sense, and I'm making a generalization, we tend to be the ones that kind of bring the community together in general. And you can argue the point, but so it's interesting that this is the first book that we have been going on that's by a woman that really, for the first time, turns around and says, hey, wait a second. We don't have to fall into this whole, you know, we're all victims and we're, you know, the coffee clutch, as you like to say. And, you know, she's the first, you know, the first time I'm hearing this put it in these words. And, of course, it makes sense that it would be a woman doing that because, let's face it, you know, there's not going to be, a guy's not going to think that way. A guy's very, you know, taking care of me and my family, you know, whatever I have to do and making the most of me. Whereas a woman tends to, many times, put herself a little bit more in the back burner to take care of, you know, we're, again, caretakers.
Right.
And that doesn't mean we're not successful. That doesn't mean we're not intelligent and that we can't be caretakers and amazing influencers, amazing workers, amazing entrepreneurs, or amazing whatever it is we put our minds to. We can do those things. But until we recognize as women certain things that we can let go of, beliefs that we can let go of, do we move in that space? And as long as those beliefs somehow appear in the ether, the whole inequality is going to be a part of it. Because it just is. I know I jumped ahead. You're looking, you're getting ready to look at me like, what?
I'm not doing that at all. I'm listening. And
Don't you think that?
Dorothea Brand really, really shares a wonderful viewpoint to all of this, encompassing in it, in specifically the title of her book, Wake Up and Live.
Right.
She really does. And she says, you know, unconsciously, our intention becomes, you know, we fill our life with secondary activities, so we have no time to perform the best work that we're capable of.
Right.
Which is, wow! What are we doing?
Exactly.
And so, you know, when you read this and absorb it, and you look at how we victimize ourselves as willing participants in the will to fail. And it's funny because in the beginning she starts it out and says, you know, we work hard to fail. There's the will to fail or die. There's the will to live, the will to power. You know, of course, there's the will to fail, too. And she kind of associates it. I guess that's a little hypnotic in a way, because it's bringing you with familiar stuff, but also showing you that, hey, this too is a part of it. And the rewards of failure are funny, because, you know, would you really term them as rewards? You
know? Well, she calls it rewards so that you can see it. Otherwise, will to fail, it's like, what is it? The other thing that everyone used to say is fear of success. Oh, I don't have fear of success. Well, let's define what it would look like. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, I can relate to that. I think she's using the same way about going and saying, this is the, you know, the will to fail. This is what it looks like. And oh, wow.
Hey, it's Julie here, and we have to do this interruption really quick because we only have a couple of seconds, because we're interrupting some good content, wouldn't you say?
I'd say.
And what are we interrupting for? That was too long of a gasp. We're interrupting to say we have ebooks, books, and podcasts galore.
It's a big reveal, folks. Susan does have a deck of tarot cards.
Danny, you have one.
And I have one, too. And when you utilize tarot cards, you get yourself into the energy. And our writing is in that vibe as well. And, of course, our podcast.
And we do not read tarot cards like everyone else does. We look at them and we do something completely different. And that is what we think everybody can do.
And that's where all of our stuff stems from, is doing the work yourself.
And getting to that space where you can do it. And there's podcasts that we have that are free. There's a lot of ebooks that are almost free. People are looking for this.
There's fiction and there's nonfiction. We got it all.
You know, it's funny you brought that up, because I think there's such a different energy to the expression fear of success versus will to fail. There's such a different energy, because it and that's just an observation right now when you just brought it up, because, I mean, fear of success is what everybody goes into. Oh, you have a fear of success. And, you know, it's a fear of a good thing. But, you know, to have the will to do, you know, to fail, it's like it's the opposite.
It's the opposite of the opposite. So there, it's like double negatives. Therefore, it becomes a positive again, right? Fear of success, will to fail. It's like they're two double negatives, which to me is like the same thing.
But it's easier to sell a fear of success. Oh, okay, that's what I have, because I'm really directed towards success. So what I'm saying is I'm really directed towards success, but I have a fear of it. Oh, let me get over this fear. But that doesn't do anything versus, oh, wait a minute, you're telling me I have a will to fail? Well, how do I resolve that if you generically have this as part of your state of being? That's interesting. That's a lot different than...
I just think the idea of the way of approaching what she's saying, it's like this. It's a similar approach. It's a similar approach. I'm not saying they're the same thing. It's just a similar approach.
Oh, I didn't say that. I said it's funny, because what you're sold is, okay, it's a fear of success. If you have a fear of success, join this program, you know? And that's an easy sell, because you hear the success and you think, yeah, I want success, and why haven't I gotten it? I must have a fear. But it's like, well, if you have a will to fail, join this program. Well, I don't have a will to fail. It's like more of, you know, and so it's interesting the way this kind of elicits itself. It's kind of a negative thing, but it's, you know, generically there, and how much we condition ourselves and you know, our victimization in it is just standard stuff. Like, you know, we said, you know, going to the movies all the time, or sleeping tons.
Didn't say it. She said it.
Right. We shared what she said. Right.
Before.
These are my astute points, right?
No.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting is a lot of the stuff that she talks about also towards, again, getting towards the end of it, is she talks about letting go of what people are going to think about you, I'm generalizing, you know, letting go of that and letting go of your own ideas of who you're supposed to be. She talks about beliefs. And again, we talked about her being a woman, and you know, I just find it fascinating, and I keep using the word fascinating. I'm sorry, I'm not going to anymore. Is that, you know, she talks she says that when someone asks for advice, because we're told, even now, you know, oh, you need something, ask somebody. We hear that all the time. If you go on social media and people are like, oh, I want to help people, and just ask me, and if I can help you, I will. And I think the idea right now is, isn't this wonderful? This is a great community that wants to help. She says that asking for advice, and basically she says we do to confirm our feeling protected and cherished, right? Because you ask somebody and, oh, I'll help you. Oh, you feel confirmed and cherished. And she says that's infantile. And she says, quote, and I'm quoting, the working out, however laborious, of an original technique is worth the time expended, the loneliness and the loneliness entailed. And she says, so she says, basically, you need to work out your own problems. Asking for advice is, for the most part, you're looking to be confirmed, yo, you're doing good, or, you know, I'm cherished, I'm cared about, people want to help me. And she says that is not in your best interests. It is in your best interest to work out, no matter how hard it might be, as much as you can on your own. And if there is a problem that you cannot figure out, she basically says you should write out what you're asking for, because it will help you to specifically define what someone can do to help you. And that is another, for me, it was a game changer. Because people want to help, but there's nothing worse than you know, I've been fortunate that if I need, oh, I don't know what to, well, what do you need help with? And I'm always like, ah, oh, God, I don't even know what to ask for. Mm. And I realized that, well, maybe let me sit down, and this is something new that I'm going to start doing. If I think I need help, I'm going to really get to the crux of it. What piece of information is it that I'm looking for? Because otherwise, what are you really asking for? Hmm. You're asking, and if you don't put it into a term that you can specifically ask for one thing, she says then the problem becomes an overwhelming, huge, undefined issue that you get stuck with, because you don't even know what the problem is. Hmm. And I think being a woman saying that is, again, huge. Because as women, I think we like to help people. And, you know, therefore, when we have something we can't figure out, our first go-to is, well, how can we get some help? Hmm. And she's basically...
Well, it's funny, because even in that aspect of what you just said, as women, we like to help people. I mean, mm-hmm. once again, what are you doing? You're fulfilling someone else's will to fail. So,
exactly. And we've talked about that.
Doing that. So, mm-hmm. and you know, is there a fear associated in with that? That you're not belonging, that you're not fulfilling the community, that you're not doing things? Because she does go into aspects of fear being a reward to stay in the will to fail. And that's like astronomical to think about, because you can be fearful of lots of things, and it can go into that, you know, trauma and stress of, you know, just complete uncertainty and what's going on in my life, in my world, the people around me. And to think that's, you know, an aspect of a reward, you know, to stay in that functionality of the will to fail.
So if we want to get ourselves out of the will to fail, and I think anyone, you know, reading through a lot of what you said, there's a piece of it, and I think it's a question: are we enjoy, you know, when we indulge in something, are we enjoying something, or has it become, you know, a crutch? Mm. And that's a question we each have to ask about many things in life. And what she talks about is not waiting for approval, not waiting for someone to help you, but you take the bull by the horns and you take care of it yourself. And what I also love about her, that she is, you know, being a woman, is she gives 12 examples of things that we can actually do. So did you want to go into, did you have something you thought that, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a, I think before we get to the examples, I mean, I think it's important. She clearly states that every day the will to fail operates. And that's not to be in like, oh gosh, oh no type, you know, situation, but to understand that. And then she comes clean and says, but, you know, the rewards of success are so much worth more having than staying in that will to fail. You know, she shares that, you know, success is really the normal aim versus the will to fail. And I think, you know, there's a simplicity to that, but I think that's important to kind of share because, you know, this doesn't become like, oh, here's another self-help book. And, okay, you have the will to fail, and this is how you need to resolve it. It becomes more of awareness and a technique to understand how you yourself operate. And she talks about, I think one of the chapters is the system in operation, and she talks about it and gives clear and precise, you know, explanations of that and what you need to do. And, you know, we're not going to go through, you know, all that parts of it, but even we mentioned in a further podcast about imagination and how that was just a beautiful definition of what she said about imagination.
Do you want to repeat it? Go ahead.
Well, the funny thing is I was thinking, that's a really good teaser. You got to go back and listen to, what was it, the previous podcast before? Or what do you want to do? I don't know.
Well, that's, I think what she says about the imagination is very comparable to what others have said that have really a sense of who they are. The imagination is really where you get your answers.
Mm.
You know, that's where you start being open-minded and you go in, and that's really the proper use of imagination, not to daydream what your life could be.
Right, right.
It's you know, trying to. I mean, didn't they say Tesla didn't have to test his experiments because he did them all in his head?
Yeah.
You know, sort of the same thing. Yeah. You kind of go through it, and maybe we're not Tesla that we can follow through with the experiments. Maybe we are, but...
And there's that sense that, I mean, we mentioned this before, that everyone talks about use your imagination. And it's not daydreaming per se at all. It's really... In this sense where, you know, when we acclaimed this last time, that she shares that, you know, it's going to that prearranged, inevitable success moment that you had before something occurred that you access and then work from there. So your mind becomes open and liberated and free to expanded possibilities. And, you know, before, you know, fears, anxieties, apprehensions, all that stuff was important. But now you get, you know, more of a sense of success and you're kind of in the right mindset, in the right frame of mind. And you have the power to move forward into that with your imagination. You're in probably a clearer sense of your imagination.
Well, your goal is clearer. So your imagination has a clearer space that it's working towards.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's very clear, and she's very similar to a lot of the books that we have read. In that, you know, your mind, you focus on a goal and you focus on where it is you want to go and you use your imagination to guide it there. And I think some of the little nuances that she adds is what makes it the book, what something is different, the way that she approaches it.
And it definitely, you know, fills in with a nice, fresh viewpoint, you know, that's complementary, but also supplementary to all the other ancient texts that we've been absorbing and sharing. And she does go, a bit on about the imagination and you know, how to use it to focus more clearly ahead and things like that, that gets you, you know, becomes more of a better resolution for the will to fail.
So I think talking about the 12 disciplines is in alignment with what you're talking about, because what she gives you, because we're talking, and Julie's saying some, you know, things that are absolutely accurate, and I don't think anyone would disagree. I would think what my question would be is, yeah, I get it. how do I do it? How do I reprogram my mind to go in a different space? And that's where these 12 disciplines that she comes up with. And again, do you do it? Do you not do it? And that's where she says you have your answers. You don't need somebody. If you need somebody for something, sit down and really write it out. Because what is it that you need, and what is it that you're just looking for someone to say, oh, you're, you know, pat you in the back. It's okay. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. We'll take care of you. And it's like, that's not helping you. And so the things that she lists are really challenging. Some of them are really challenging, but if you do this, well, everything else sort of comes into play. So I don't know if we want to go through them. We can maybe just briefly list them.
Sure, we can share the 12 disciplines. Yeah, the first one is?
Spend an hour a day without saying anything. 1 hour every day being in complete silence.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, accept an answer to direct questions.
Right, except, but for the most part, an hour in complete silence. I love doing that anyways. I know our listeners probably don't believe it.
You do all your talking on the podcast? Wait a minute, really?
I talk to myself consistently, so don't
feel so
bad.
In your head or out loud?
Both.
Hi, this is Julie. I recently went away to Canada and I was excited to bring a handful of books, but I couldn't read a thing. Has that ever happened to you? All I wanted to do was play. If you travel, trivia is fun. And we have a lot of different trivia for you. We have Think You Know the Kabbalion? You can test yourself. We have trivia on Halloween and Samhain. And we have Christmas trivia. So the time is right to test your brain and get moving. And if you want to do it today, you can go to Amazon and download the ebooks.
Hey, Susan, the secret's out.
Oh, no.
Well, they can't tell from my accent, but probably from yours. Yeah, we're from Boston. But the really funny thing is, our stuff is all over. We have 4 podcast shows. You can find them on Spotify, and you can find them everywhere you listen to podcasts. And we have lots of books and ebooks on Amazon, and that's worldwide. So do you feel adventuresome?
Sure.
When I say hologram, does it make you think of how the sum of the parts equals the whole? Also, how the whole is represented in the parts? It does for me, because the whole picture and the details are important. That's why Susan and I put 5 parts in our book, Energetic Invocations, A Book of Vibrational Change. Self, journey, people, environment, and world. Each part is important in detail, but also as a part of your whole life. Work on the parts and work on your whole life. Change can happen. Energetic Invocations and Energetic Invocation Series available now on Amazon. Download the ebook today or get the paperback.
Okay, so then the second one, I'll read the second one, then you can do the next. Spend half an hour a day thinking exclusively about one subject. That's a challenge.
Well, I think she said you start with 5 minutes and then you build up and build up. And you just keep, you know, the object in your mind and let it grow and let it grow. And then
that's challenging to not have your mind shift. So that's one thing. Next one?
The third one is to write a letter without I, me, my, or mine. And that allows us to see ourselves in perspective by turning the mind outward instead of being preoccupied with our own affairs.
So one would ask, why would she say that you turn it outward? I think when I read that, it's trying to look. It's again, it's a perspective change. I know you got it printed out, so you get to look at it. I don't.
No.
But you know, because by doing that, you're not allowed to. Oh, my life, my illness, my what? It's, you got to look beyond that and look in.
Well, also grammatically, it's first person singular, and when you start talking about I mean, you're really kind of making a close reference, and you're really, you know, you're adding ego, you're adding lots of stuff in there, so.
Okay. The next one is talking for 15 minutes a day without using the same I, me, my, and mine. Do you think you could write? I think I could write without using it better than I could talk without using it.
I don't know. I think you'd probably be surprised how much you don't, you know, unless maybe you're in communal conversation with someone where they're asking your opinion about something. But, you know, do you focus more on others or do you, you know, I bet you'd be surprised. Number five, write a letter in a successive tone with no lying.
Successful tone.
Oh, a successful tone, right. A successful tone with no lying, not being discouraged, you know, turn things to a positive, healthy attitude.
And no misstatements.
No misstatements, right.
What do you think about that one? I think I could do that one.
Well, you know,
because there's so many
postcards are fun. And so when you write a postcard, it's like, here I am on the beach, the weather's beautiful, wish you were here, you know, that type of thing. And when you're just, it's just all successful.
Sure.
When and I don't know if, you know, again, you want to go back to the time period of the 1930s, you know, they're not sending emails to each other, obviously. Maybe some people were, but we don't know who, but... And, you know, so it's a different kind of, when you're writing out, well, this is what occurred and so, and you know, that's a different tone in there.
I love the idea, though, of what you just said of a postcard. It's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Perfect example. Mm-hmm. Number six. I love this one.
I know you love this one. You worked it out so you got number six.
I didn't work anything out. I didn't work anything out. But it worked out that way, so I'll just go with it. Pause on the threshold of any crowded room you are about to enter and consider for a moment your relation to those who are in it. Now, we are in Boston, those of you who haven't heard it 1,000 times by now. So Encore, I'm giving them the, you know, we went to the Encore Casino one day, not me and Julia, I was with my kids, and so we went there. And when you walk in, it's this beautiful building, and you got lights, you know, everything going on, the noises. And I actually did this. No, I didn't scope out the room for in terms of a relationship, like who, you know, my relation to anyone. I walked in there, and I didn't have to be able to step on the threshold. But there's a stairway that kind of goes, and I stopped it for a minute, and I kind of just contemplated the room. And my mind and my you know, I just tended to look up at a certain area. And I don't know what for, but it just caught my attention. And most of the time, you never do it. You walk in, and she again, she relates this to a relationship. I just related it to the energy. Mm-hmm. I walked in and like, huh, what's here for me? Because I don't gamble, and my kids will be the first to tell you when they start gambling, they ask me to step away because I was bad. I was bad luck for them. Every time I stepped up, they lost. But I sat there and took just a moment and looked around. And actually, it's not like anything life changing happened, but there was a different feel to it. And it's a contemplation. It wasn't like, okay, who do I need? It was just a contemplation.
Well, this one is funny because this one is inevitably associates itself. I mean, think about high school people walking into the lunchroom cafeteria and being nervous about walking into a crowded room. And here she just says, I mean, think if you paused on the threshold, on the entryway, and you just kind of considered and just looked around and weren't, you know, self-reflective and oh my gosh and self-conscious of things, and she does say this is I think very much from the time period, but also there's an energy to it. You know, you find the hostess, you know, if it's a party, you find the hostess, or you find the guest of honor or the oldest person, and it's interesting the way she kind of relates that, because what it does is it gets you outside of yourself. And you're not being self-conscious about, oh, you know, is this dress okay? Am I wearing this? Is my hair look okay? Or whatever else you want to
just do that 5 minutes before you walk in. Make sure you don't have... I won't go into it. I was going to say something else. All right, keep going.
Okay, number seven. Keep a new acquaintance talking about themselves without allowing him to become conscious of what you are doing. And This is, you know, I love to go back to that birthday party you told me, yeah, come along to, and I came to, and it was like a priced dinner. I met some people I didn't know, and I actually did this, and it was interesting for me, because I had this conversation with this person about trucks. And it was a new acquaintance, and he just continued to talk about himself. And I wasn't, little did I know, unbeknownst to me, I was practicing one of her principles.
There you go.
And, you know, he was not conscious of what I was
Most
doing. And I
not.
Did have genuine interest. Yeah. I did have genuine interest. And it was funny because I think before then, he was probably maybe a little bit self-conscious. He wasn't really talking to anybody. And, you know what, I remember seeing him, and he was like, you know, kind of mingling and all talking to him.
Okay.
And so I'm not saying that's, you know, based in my energy, but that was an interesting principle to that I actually did attempt without even knowing I was attempting it to some degree.
The next one, exact opposite is above. Talk exclusively about yourself, your interests, without complaining, boasting, or boring your companion. So I was just in a situation where I met up with somebody who has kids my kids' age, and she met up, and you know, of course, I did the beginning part of letting her talk about herself. She talked about her kids, and she talked about her and what was going on. And so, you know, then she asked me, so what about your kids? And I'm like, oh, God. So I gave, like, okay, this one's here, this one's there, this one's there. And I literally kept it down to less than a minute, and she heard it, and then she's like, all right, I gotta go now, and I literally was trying not to boat, not to say, just like, okay, well, it was almost like it wasn't even an exchange, it was like, all right, here's, I dealt you the three cards, now you deal me three cards, I'll deal you, and I was bored, And it was like, I didn't, you know, and it, I guess maybe because I didn't go into any drama, I was kind of boring for her. And she kind of walked away, and she's like, okay, well, I got to go now. I was like, oh, see ya. And she wasn't a good friend ever, but I was like, it's so boring.
Were you babbling about trivial
No, things. She told me every single thing, and I was like, oh, I did the first what you did. Like, oh, okay, yeah, nice. Oh, that's good to hear, that's good to hear. She didn't even know my, she, so yours? And what? And
yours?
Yeah,
oh my
yours.
God.
And
what is it, like a tennis match?
Oh my, yeah. Oh. And I literally, this one's here, this one's there, this one's doing, and I didn't even get to the third one. I have three kids. I only got to the first two, and she's, oh, I gotta go. So, I don't know. I wasn't complaining. I wasn't boasting. So, I must have been boring her. So, I guess I
was it 15 minutes? Maybe
no,
you did.
I said two. So, there you go. So, that's what.
And I mean,
so,
to me, that's kind of the worst. I mean, the one above, you know, keep new acquaintances talking about themselves. I mean, that's kind of entertaining to me because it's always, to me, a character portrayal, you know? I'm like, ooh, this person could go in this story, you know? That one, this story. But
okay.
Talking exclusively about yourself, if you're talking about energy or something like that, but, you know, yeah, and then I went over
well,
to
you know,
Joe,
I like to talk about,
Shibin.
I like to, you know, I like to talk about horses, like, you know, something new. A lot of people don't even know I do it, so I don't even mention to it. So I actually stick with the top one. I usually, oh, and then I pull a Julie. They ask me a question, and I say, so, really? And I turn around and ask them a question, and it just goes right back. So
that's my old trick with my English students. I would say, you need some time to formulate the answer in English. Just ask a question back. Ask right back what they said. And so there are a few more principles, and we're going to continue because we don't want to kind of cut them off because some of the next ones coming up are fun. And as much fun as these others are. Yet we'll continue more with Dorothea Brand's 12 Principles in our next podcast. Join us.
Thank you for listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon authors pages for books and podcasts. Find New Threads music and their latest album on iTunes, Spotify, and newthreads.us.